Before I introduce Rabbi Schwartz, an honor that Baruch Hashem I get to do a few times a year, I would like to remind everyone in this room that on October 28th of this year, the Chicago Rabbinical Council is honoring Rabbi Schwartz for his 2 decades so far, and many more to come, of service to the Chicago Jewish community at a dinner that's taking place downtown, and I hope that everyone will be able to join us for that momentous event. It is a very small gesture we can do of Hakaras HaTov to all that Rav Schwartz has given to our community. And now, without any further ado, it is always an honor and always a pleasure to introduce our Rav Beit Din, our Rav Schwartz. Words cannot really begin to describe all that he means to us in our community, both as a Rav, I can speak on a personal level of his availability, but more importantly as a symbol of Torah within our community. Rav Schwartz has, as I mentioned at the beginning of this program, has spoken at each one of these events, and it has always been the highlight of the event to have Rav Schwartz participate. And I thank him in advance for his presentation, as I do in shul whenever we have him speak for the Shabbos HaGadol or the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. I always make an appointment for next year as well. And so before I introduce Rabbi Schwartz, I would like to remind everyone that please God, with everyone's assistance, we'll be able to share in his Torah not only between now and next year, but also please God, everyone should be well for next year as well at next year's Yom Iyun. Without any further ado, it is truly an honor and a privilege to introduce our Rav Beit Din and the Rav Beit Din of the Beit Din of America, our Rav Agon Rav Gedalia Dov Schwartz Shlita.
Thank you, Rabbi McTanky, again for a most generous and expanded introduction about events that are supposed to take place in Yot Hashem and the Shoah Teva and the Tzlachas. And again, it's a privilege to speak at this. On the one hand, it's a tragic reminder of an event in the past which we all have etched in our memories of the effect of the Matanki family, but at the same time we continue to have a proper zecher and iyun on the life and the legacy of Yaakov Matanki Olav HaShalom, and this is the proper way of memorializing it with shiurim in halacha. Now, I was given more or less the direction of dealing with Shemitah, not so much on the, of course, on Ksofim, which the part that I heard, I believe I heard most of the entire shiur on Shemitah's Kesofim was a wonderful presentation. And unfortunately, Rabbi Rapp ran out before I can even give him a Yashikeach. So, you'll have to send them by, on the modern technology, something by email, by cell phone, whichever way you'll direct Yashikeach to him, but he gave, I would say, a wonderful presentation. He also is one of the active Dayonim on a more or less ad hoc basis in the Bezin of America. And he's sat in many Dine Teira, and he has brought his knowledge and expertise in understanding situations and dealing with real life situations, and that's the way he dealt with this whole problem of Shemitah Kesofim. I'm dealing today, according to the direction I was given, with Shemitah Karkos, not so much on the actual Dean of Shemitah Karkos, as we know that there is such a Dean, but also the method, or which was introduced a long time ago, more than 100 years ago, about Heter Mechira. How is it possible to exist, to maintain the agricultural economy of Eretz Yisrael, especially in those days, in observing Shemitah, when the land has to be left, as the term was used even through medieval times, to let the land lie fallow, not working it, not doing anything, more or less, it's an abandonment. It's called in the Lashon of the Gemara, Avkata de Malka, that the land is more or less by Torah mandate abandoned. It's Hefker. Anybody can come in there and take whatever he wants. It's sort of a public domain declared by the Torah. There's even a machlekes whether the proprietor of the land has to make an official pronouncement and Sorich Lahavkiro, according to Rashi, Masech Nidim of Zion, says Sorich Lahavkiro, he has to make such a declaration, whereas the Gemara seems to imply that it's an automatic thing. And that's something which different Shiurim have been delivered. What I want to do again is just review briefly the main Gemara that deals with the question of Shemitah's karka and whether it's a deraisa de rabbon, and this was already discussed by Rabbi Rapp. He brought the Mekeiros to that, but the main mocker in dealing with the Shemitah's karka most of all, and doesn't focus on the Shemitah's kasafim, on the negation of the dissolution of the debt, but rather on working the land. Is it a deraisa de rabbon? And they all refer to that statement, that braisa, at the beginning of Meir Cotton, where Rebbe mentions there, and the text was in the papers that the sheets that Rabbi Rapp distributed, and of course I have it in my notes. And generally I don't distribute all the notes. I've become very conscious of conservation of paper. You know how much paper is being used over and over again, they talk about. So I'm sort of sensitive to that, you know, but I'm happy that people become aware of this text. The text is that when it says in the Torah Shamot Kol Ba'al Masha Yodo, when it's talking within the context of the Tzim Shemitah's Kesofim, so Rebbe says, B'shnei Shemitah's HaKosim Adav. We're talking about two types of Shemitah. Shemitah's Karkos and Shemitah's Kesofim. B'zman Sh'ato Meshamet Karka, the time when you are doing the act of Shemitah for the karka, it's like abandoned. The same thing, you have Shemitah's kasafim. And the time when you don't have that, so then the same thing applies to Shemitah's karka, that applies to Shemitah's kasafim. So that's the opinion of Rebbe. And of course it was mentioned too that, well, does it come out, does anybody disagree with Rebbe? You have another place where they're right there in Meir Cotton when Rava says, Afilo Teimer Rabbonim. Even according to the Rabbonim, that disagree with Rebbe, but when it comes to the Karka on Shviz, what we're talking about, and there it's talking about Mashka Zoyim. You're talking about watering a field, which is what we call a tolda, which is a offshoot of the act of planting. It's not a real of. Just like we have by Shabbos, you have Ovos Malachas, the main Malachas, and you have Toldos. So the Torah only assers the Ovos and not the Toldos, and therefore we could find a way out. So that seems to imply, that Shemitah maybe would be a deraisa. This is part of a debate that goes on. And of course you had one of the Yoshanim that was mentioned by Rabbi Rapp, there that said it's a very simple procedure. If you have a majority opinion of Rabbonim, we don't know who exactly the Rabbonim are, but it's obviously it's a majority as opposed to the Yochid, to the individual, you're paskin like the Rabbim. So, as if to say Rebbe is cancelled out, and Shemitah's Karkos, the Dean of Shemitah's Karkos would be a Dean of the Raisa, according to that. And that makes a significant difference when it comes to handle the question, what can we do during a Shemitah year after the Zman HaChurban and so forth. Now, what has happened, and I will try to focus mostly on that, is the approach, what kind of Eitzah can we have in order for people to be able to raise crops during the Shemitah year? If it's deraisa, there's no question. That would seem that you can't do anything. If it's the Rabbanan, whereas Midrashim would be Mutter, but the Rabbanan asked it, so then perhaps we can find, as in many dinim of the Rabbanim, you can find a cooler. So you can find a type of heter which would allow us somehow to remove the proprietorship, the ownership of the land, by transferring it to someone who is not under the obligation to observe Shemitah, namely would be Goyim, non-Jews, just like we do with Chametz BePesach. It's the same approach. What do you do with Chametz BePesach? In Chametz BePesach, you have, of course, in principle, you sell it to, it's based on Tosefta and Pesachim, where they have a situation, a Jew and a non-Jew on a ship, and he had Chametz, so he sold it to the Goy. And that was that, and after Pesach, he got it back, he bought it back, and through the centuries, there's been a whole development of the method of selling the Chametz to the non-Jew. And then there's a debate whether it's actual Chametz or not actual Chametz, and there are certain Chumers back and forth. But in principle, a person could have a huge warehouse of Chametz. A warehouse, we're not talking about a householder has a couple of items in his freezer or refrigerator, where it's become most popular to get rid of every Chametz Gomer, every real Chametz, but you have a whole warehouse, you just can't, you have to do something about it. How is a person going to be able to survive over Pesach as a warehouse, grocery companies and others, warehouses full of Chametz, even Manashevitz company that makes matzah all year round has warehouses full of Chametz items, you know. I don't know whether you know about it, just an interesting oddity. Their famous product, Tam Tam, Tam Tam, they bake it once a year. Not every month, once a year, then it's stored in a big warehouse. I know that because my late brother, Zechein Levoch, was the main Rav Machshir in Manashevitz, and I visited the place. So what do they do? What are they throwing it out? So they can't go into that chumra of getting rid of Chametz Gomer. So the question of sale is not only a question there, and the same thing, it came up, it's a parallel of selling an animal, a heifer, a cow that was going to give birth, that was going to have a bechor, and a bechor, you get what we would call the sacred cow. You would have to give it to the Kohen, Bezman HaMikdash, he gave it to the Kohen, and he would take it to Beis HaMikdash, that's one of his matanos, and he would offer up. Supposing you can't do that anymore, so the Kohen has to wait, you have to give it to the Kohen, you have to wait till it develops a mum, a defect, and then you could have the shechit and the Kohen could eat from it, so forth. So there were ways devised when the cow, we see, has become pregnant, can you sell off the cow to a goy when it's born in possession of the goy, so then it's not, it would not have a din of bechor, and then later on it would buy it back, it would have no din bechor. So we have the same problem with Shemitah. Can we sell this land? The land of Eretz Yisrael, we're not talking about an ordinary piece of land. We're talking about a land of Kedushas Haaretz. Is there a type of Kedushas Haaretz, a sanctity of the land, that would prevent us from selling the land? Can we sell it? Or so forth. And that depends. Is Shemitah's Karkoz Bizman Hazeh Deraisa? If it's Deraisa, you wouldn't be able to do that. And that's where it was the Rabbanan. There, yeah, we're in the Rabbanan, you can make a cooler. That's Rebbe's opinion. That would be a Rabbanan Shemitah's Karkos. And then there perhaps would be an Eitzah to sell the land. That's the most simple way of describing it. Now, the Rambam, not only in Hilchos Shemitah V'Yovel, but actually there's a Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBchir. When he's talking about the Beis HaMikdash, and he talks about the level of sanctity, of Kedusha that exists in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, and the Mikdash. The Rambam has a shita which he emphasizes, like where when the Jewish people were driven out of Eretz Yisrael with the Golus, and there's a whole question of what happened to the Kedusha Soroth. So the Gemara uses terminology, whether it's Kedusha L'Shaita or Kedusha L'Oselova, where the original Kedusha has been negated, and therefore, but the future, it still remains Kaddish, although the Jews are not there. So, with the opinion of the time of the first Beis HaMikdash, we say that it was negated. There's no more Kedushas Haaretz once they were driven out. But later on, once that they came back, and they, when he came back in the time of Ezra, the way the Rambam describes it, it was not a military operation that Jews took possession of the land of Kibush, coming from Babel, it was Chazaka. They took possession. Kol Makom Shel Zika Oeli Babel. Wherever the those who went on Aliyah from Babel were Marzik the land, that became Kodesh, and that has a A, the real aspect of sanctity of Kedushas Haaretz. The rest of it did not, only that place. And that's why the Gemara discusses different places, namely in Chulin. In some places, they did not intentionally be mekadesh the land again, so that people would be able to grow things there and the Aneim would have a source of economy and so forth. But once you have a Kedushas Haaretz, so how do we get around that? But the Rambam, when he discusses the Kedusha of Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, he has a novel insight. He says the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash, especially, is never bottled. Never, it's forever. It's something which is Kedushas Olam. Now, when speaking about that, he says, whereas in other parts of Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha as far as Shviz, of the Shemitah year, and Tumas HaMaisras, all the question whether you're mechuyev to take Tumas HaMaisras when you're living in Eretz Yisrael, everybody's conscious of the fact, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have a bigger problem in kashrus. Not only are you worried about glatt kosher meat or all the other oddities or whatever we have, but there you have to worry about, you buy something, there was Tumas HaMaisras and everything else, and Orla, and the Orla in Eretz Yisrael is bigger, and there are all other questions of Kliyim and everything else that are all the chumras of Eretz Yisrael, a bigger thing. So the Rambam says the whole din of Shviz and Tumas HaMaisras is all the Rabbanan. He's clearly on record that it's the din of the Rabbanan. Others, however, disagreed with that. They say that actually still would remain a din of the Raisa, because they would be following the opinion saying that the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe. And if the Rabbanan disagree with Rebbe, Rebbe says the Rabbanan, they hold as the Raisa, just like Lover says, I feel a tamer Rabbanan, even according to Rabbanan. But there's certain tamer on certain types of malachas that are not the major malachas. They're only the toldus, so there we can make a chilek. But in principle, the land there is still, it's a din de Raisa, and there's a full Kedushas Haaretz. So once that there is that Kedushas Haaretz, how do we deal with it in dealing with the economy or working there or so forth? What is most interesting is this, that there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, and Achavav, a Maral of Rebbe Yanai, is speaking to people on Shviz. He's in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Yanai was the Rebbe of Rebbe Yochanan, and he tells them that they should work, he's giving them chizik, they should work the land in the Shemitah year, in order to pay certain taxes, the Arnuna, to the government. So there was probably the Roman government at that time that was in control of Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, how could he do that? So Rashi mentions an interesting thing there, because Rashi says at that moment that it was only, there was no din de Raisa, there was no law of the Torah that there was a Kedushas Haaretz, and under the situation of the government, otherwise they would have had to pay certain fines and certain penalties, so he urged them to do that. So Rabbi Yosef Engel, Zal, great Meforish on all of Shas and all, remarks in his Sefer Yoni HaShas, when Rabbi Yanni does that, this is a psak of an Ameira. In other words, like this we'd say there's a machlekes between Rebbe and the Rabbanim, whether Kedushas Haaretz is the Raisa or not the Raisa, whether you can work the land, you can't work the land because of the status of its Kedusha, can't find any Heterim. Here you have a case where an Ameira, namely Reb Yanai, has given a Psak, and once an Ameira makes a Psak, that's already a Psak on a Machlekes of the Tanoim. Like this we try to invoke a Machlekes, Rebbe's a Yochid, and the Rabbanan are the Rabbin, you go like the Rabbin, but here comes the Ameira, he has a Mesera, and he's the Rebbe of Rebbe Yochanan, he's a great master of Torah, Paskins, Lamaisa, that this is what you can do. So that's a sort of a clear-cut raya that the Kedushas Haaretz, that is not the Indian of Shemitah, is not a Deraisa, Bizman Hazeh. So there are different debates what happened in bringing it to the situation where all of this came to the fore, besides a situation that happened in the 16th century. The machlek is between the Beis Yosef, the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mabit, with Meisher Ditrani, who both lived in Tzfas and so forth. If you ever visit Tfas, you'll see in the Beis HaKvoros, they're like buried one next to the other, which is an amazing thing, but they were opponents in many inyanim of halacha, where the Beis Yosef said that if Goyim, the Arabs, that's who they were in possession of the land at that time, so you could eat from them their palis. You can eat from their palis, because in principle, if the Goy owned the land, there's no Kedushas palis, and you could eat from it. The Mabit disagreed with that. So that's, where's that found? Not in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Tshuvas of the Beis Yosef, called the Avkas Rochel. That's where he mentions that particular situation. And based on that, you seem to have a theme that the Shemitah, Bizman HaZeh, would be a Rabbanan. That would be the principle, and that would be the approach that the Beis Yosef has. Now, the many things, as it was even mentioned, I heard one part of Rabbi Rab Shear, talk about the relationship of Yovel to Shemitah. If Yovel is Batal, then there would now be no real Deen of Shemitah. And since the Yovel is Batal, so therefore it falls in place that the Shemitah, which would be dependent on how you count with the Yovel, would also be a Rabbanan. However, there's one of the Gedolei Achreinim, the great Pesach, Reb David Karlina, but he's an individual in that, he separates that. He writes in his Tshuvas, the Shelas David. He has a whole kuntras on the Inyanim HaShvius. Because what happened was, in the 19th century, when this became a real practical issue, it was the time of the, and it's a part of the history, we're speaking, as they say in the Mizrahi, a religious Zionist surrounding, when the movement of Chevev Etzion, which was not a political party in any way, it was a movement by Gedolei Yisroel, starting all the way from Reb Hirsch Kalischer, and you have Reb Eliyahu Gutmacher, and other Gedolei, Reb Shmuel Mohalev, these were all Gedolei Yisroel that started a movement to return to Eretz Yisroel and found colonies, the colonias they called it, different kibbutzim or shavot, whatever name we'll give to them, in Eretz Yisroel. And in those early years, as the slowly but sure was a struggling economy, and these first people literally had Mesiras Nefesh in trying to work the land, and so when it came to Shemitah year, there was a question, well, can they or can't they? Tuf Reish Menches, 1888, if I don't mention it, was the year of Shemitah. And Tuf Reish Mem Zion, they were concerned about what are we going to do, how are we going to work the land? Can we work the land or can't we work the land? Reb David Karlina was opposed to selling the land to Goyim because in his Lomdus, the way he learned it, that Yovel and Shemitah are not that connected. Yovel maybe is Bottle, but the Shemitah would still be the Reise. He has his whole kuntras on that. But many others disagree with that for various reasons. Now, what other, and they were seeking, how can we make a heter? The heter would obviously be sell the land to a non-Jew, namely the Arabs, and after that, just like Mechiras Chometz, and after that, buy it back. Now, who should work the land? Should Jews be able to work the land? Or you get Goyim to work the land to make it easier that a Jew is actually not what we would be called profaning, desecrating the Shabbos Ha'oros. Because it's a Shabbos. Just like on Shabbos, we try to avoid not only ourselves being Mechal Shabbos, we try to avoid, except in certain extreme or unusual situations, of telling a Goy to do a Malacha. So the same problem came out. What do we do? How do we handle this? Is there a heter or not? So what happened, you had a whole alignment of different Gedolei Yisroel that are interested in the heter mechira. Now Rav Kook Zal, who actually was, he was not yet the Rav of Yafo or so forth. I mean, he was still, Rav Kook was born in 1865, he was just a very young man at that time, was that not much involved at that time in the question of the Heter Mechira. Other Gedolim were involved, and it became a Machlekes because of various problems. For example, one of those who opposed it was with the Yosef Dev Halevi Soloveitchik Zal, the original Briskerov. He was opposed to it, but he has a chiddush. The chiddush is not has nothing to do with the actual working of the land or the selling of the land on the basis whether Shemitah is deraisa or not. His chiddush is this, that in the Sefer Ezra, in Perek Yud, there is mentioned there a shvur that was accepted, an oath, by the people, that those who came from Golis to Eretz Yisrael swore that they would observe the Shemitah. They made a shvur. They also made a shvur on Shabbos, because Shabbos was rampant also in the time of Ezra. They made a shvur. Bo'ola uveshvur. It was a public oath. And he said, this public oath is a type of an oath that if it's sworn by the whole community, you can never break it. You can never break it. It has nothing to do with the land. Just like the community would make an oath on something else. It's a ola uveshvur. That's what the Beis Halevi fundamentally says. And his language there is that on the basis of that all the Eile Gela, that it's the tshuva in the Sefer, Shilas and Tshuva's Beis Halevi, it's the first tshuva, tshuva Aleph, where he says the following thing, that they came by all of a shvua, the nitash es hashvias, they're going to observe, they're going to let the land be abandoned, so they're not going to work the land, and that's what he says. About Hare the Chol Eli Hagela Kiblu Aleim Be All of Ishvur, they all accepted this, and there it says they signed the document V'Chosmu, they signed on it, you know, just like a obligation on some sort of a contract that's what happened. So if that's the case, that Beis Halevi writes the Yeshbo Vadi Yeshlo Kol Chema Isur Deraisa, Isur Deraisa. Forget about whether you can work the land or not. There's an Isur Deraisa which they accept upon themselves, like Divrei Kabbalah, like something that comes down from the Maseiros of the Nevi'im, El Kedin Shvuas Tzibur Al Dei Reisam, on their generations. And there's no Ein Makom L'Hokeh B'Zman Hazeh. We don't have any way of being Mater this type of a Shvuah. He's the only one that mentions that. That's his Chiddush. You know, we call it a Briska Chiddush, and that was one of the first things. Yeser, he said, more than that, in the time of the question of the Beis HaMikdash and so forth, Bizman HaBayis. And, what points out, he refers to the Gaon, Rabbi Yecheskel Landelzal, about Nodi Yehuda, lived in a century before, in the 18th century, when he talks about Cheirem Ushvua. Cheirem Ushvua have a din of the Reisa. It's considered a Torah thing. And that's why the Nodi Behuda even says that the Cheirem, the Rabbeinu Gershom, has a Koyach like a Deraisa thing, whatever, wherever he made that, when he made that convention of all the great Rabbonim in the Rhineland country, in France and Germany, and made a lot of dinim like, about polygamy and about, Bal Koch, all of them have a tremendous, Chema Ha'isa, that it has a din, that's a Isa Deraisa. That's, he quotes that. So therefore, forgetting about whether Shemitah is the Reis of the Rabbanan, it's because of the Shvur of Ezra, which he says we're all bound to, you can't do anything about it. So he was he had that approach. The Netziv, who was one of the Chayvevei Tzion, a known, you know, this has nothing to do, like, we have to say, what's your political stance? Like people were saying later on, if you were a Mizrahi, you held from the Heter. If you were a Guda, you were against the Heter. Didn't work that way. The Chayvav Eitzin, Gedele Yisrael, before they involved in the politics, there were those that wanted, were pushed and supported building or return to Eretz Yisrael, not on a political approach, but from an idealistic and also a practical approach. But they felt on the basis of halacha of their learning, like the Netziv, the head of the Lashon Yeshivas, the great Pesach, and all has a long tshuva, the Meshiv Dover, where he opposes the working of the land. You can't use it. You can't sell it. And some of the reasons are the following. One main point is his approach was that Shemitah Bizman Hazeh would be Deraisa. There's number one. So how can you find a heter to remove the Iser Deraisa? Number two is there's always the problem of Im Yesh. If you do sell it to a guy, can he remove, even if the Kedusha Sa'oritz remains the same, can he remove the dinim of Tumas Umaisis if he becomes the owner of that land? That's a whole debate in the Gemara. So he said that you can't do that. Above and beyond the fact, and even if you could, but there still remains the Kedusha Sa'oritz. There is a sacredness, there's a sacred aspect of the land, so that if you're engaged in working the land, you're violating the Kedusha Sa'oritz by sort of tampering with that. This is one of the things that the Netziv mentions in the Meshuv Dover, so he was one of those that was opposed to this situation. And then you had, of course, others that were questioned, what is their response to this? Did they find a heter or did? And it has an interesting development. When was there an official heter given after the psak of the Gaon Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Zal? Now Reb Yitzchak Elchanan originally was asked. Now Reb Yitzchak Elchanan was considered like the titular head of all the Rabban Shel Kol B'nei Hagoyla. No matter whether somebody might have been a bigger in lumdus in academic learning, but the Pesach Hador, for all of Russian Jewish, communion and everything else, they relied on the Gaon Reb Yitzchak Elchanan Spector Zal as the Pesach. They went to him. It's just like the famous story, which I always repeat, that even Reb Chaim Brisker Zal, Chaim Soloveitchik, who was the great analytical and penetrating mind, anybody said or something in Lumdus, he could analyze, he could take it apart, he could negate it, but when he had a Shiloh of Eguna, he sent a telegram to Kovner, to Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, and all he asked him to say, Mutter or Asser? Don't give me any lumdus, don't give me any tshuvas, is it Mutter or Asser? So if Reb Yitzchak Elchanan would paskin that it's Mutter, he would accept it. Why? Because he had what is known as a whole drasha about that for many people, Emunas Chachamim. Reb Yitzchak Elchanan was such a major pesik, he was knowledgeable in Kol HaTorah Kula, and when B'chaim called him, he's the greatest masmid of all of us. He's the most diligent masmid in learning than anybody else. So I trust him. I'm not going into his lumdus. If he says it's mutter, it's mutter. I accept it. So the same thing, people look to Reb Yitzchak Elchanan, if he says that it's going to be mutter, we're going to follow that. So what happened originally, Reb Yitzchak Elchanan was asked the Shaila, and he wrote it up, but he didn't want a paskin yet, because there was nobody else that was saying anything else. In fact, there's an interesting, article written years ago by Rav Aram Ben Sion Shurin, who wrote this article in the original publication of Telpiosa in 1947. He wrote about Hayachas, the relationship of Reb Yitzchak Elchanan to the question of the Heter Mechira. I published it in this copy of the article. And later on, Rav Shurin once asked me, years later, to republish it in the Torah Journal Hadarom, which I was editor a few years ago. I don't recall exactly what year, which I did. I republished it because it was considered very necessary. It describes the whole background of the Rabbanim that were considering, should we make a heter or not make a heter? Who wanted to accept such a responsibility? So Reb Yitzchak Elchanan first, he wrote up a heter, but he put a sort of disclaimer. After all, there were great Rabbonim in Yerushalayim. There was Reb Shmuel Salantzal, who was considered the Sava Kedisha, the Ar of the Yisrael, the great Pesach, the master of Halacha, like the Pesach of Eretz. There's Reb Yeshua Leib Diskin Zal, Maril Diskin, formerly the Brisker Rav, who came later to Eretz Yisrael, and this is talking about the late 1880s. So they didn't agree. They did not agree. So Reb Yitzchak Elchanan held back from issuing an official heter. But the year was getting close to Shemitah. What happened was there were three gdolim that came on record that wrote up the heter. There was Reb Shmuel Moraliver, there was Reb Yeshua Trunk, he was the Rav of Kotna, these all gdolim Yisrael, and one of the major dayanim of Varsha, Reb Shmuel Zangvul Klepfish Zal. They signed the heter that you could sell the land to goyim, and of course they gave how it should be worked, mostly by goyim should work the land, but you could sell it, and that way they would felt they would save the economy. It was a jittery economy. Imagine the first people that came in those colonies, they were barely able to plant, to produce crops. You say you can't do that another year, they'd all starve. There would be a terrible situation. So they felt, so once Reb Yitzchak Ochanan knew about that heter of the three, he came on record and he said, I agree with them, regardless what the others would say, and that's the way it was accepted, though the Rabbanu Yerushalayim still went further on that. Now, Rav Kook later, when he came to Eretz Yisrael in the early 1900s, became the Rav of Yafo, before Tel Aviv was just far starting to develop. He was the Yafo Rav, came there about 1906, 1907, and then there was again the question, came up again, another Shemitah, and he wrote actually a whole sefer defending the heter. Not only that, because he was talking about a step further, that even Jews could work the land if it was sold. That was a very, call it a tremendous move on his part to do that. His classic sefer here is like a Shulchan Aruch on Shemitah, is the Shabbos Ha'oretz. Anyone wants to know the Dini Mashmit, it took from Bavli to Yerushalmi, his amazing Bekiyas and knowledge in the Talmud and the Puskim, Lushenim and Achrenim. And in the front, a major, very important part is a very extensive Mavo, an introduction dealing with all the problems about selling the land, and he addresses every one of the considerations. He even addresses the Iser of the Beis Halevi. And he opposes it, he says, because that type of a shvua will not affect future generations. And especially points out they swore to make a shvua on keeping Shabbos. I mean, that's something that's unnecessary. You're already bound to keep Shabbos, whether the shvua is chal or not, whether it's a zeros of mitzvah, and that's the way he analyzes it. And also, he emphasizes the fact that the main opinion to be accepted about Shemitah's Ha'oretz or Kedusha's Ha'oretz was the opinion of Rebbe that it was only Midrabbanan. Now, there's one other problem that is a question of an Iser, which sort of stands as a site of sort of a barrier against selling the land to a goy. There's a general Iser called Lo Sichonim. You're not supposed to show a certain graciousness. Then the Chazal interpret Lo Sichonim Bekarka. Lo Sitan Lahem Chania Bekarka. Don't give the right, if you have already taken over Eretz Yisrael, don't give them the right leader to have a resting place. As if to say, they don't belong there. This is not their place to be in control. Chania means like a living place. So how do we get around that? You're taking the land and you're selling it to the non-Jews. You're definitely violating the deen of Lo Sichonim. So first of all, the Rav Kook has an interesting one insight, is the following, that we're dealing with the Gemara Stam, when it talks about Lo Sichonim, it still uses the expression akum. Now, if you're very exact in the word akum, which sometimes is used interchangeably with goyim, but akum means evdei aveda zor. You can't allow idolaters to use the land that you own. They're not supposed to be there. He says Yishma'elim, as much as we don't like him anymore, but Yishma'elim, the Islam, is not idolatry. In halacha, it is not classified as idolatry. So therefore, that removes that concept of akum. Number two is that the question of the Lo Sichonim here is basically on an emergency basis. Because what Rav Kook emphasized over and over again after this long halachic discourse, a tremendous discourse on the dinim of Kedusha Sa'aretz, Shmita Bizman Hazeh, and all the heterim, the isurim, and everything that is a ramification of that, Rav Kook emphasizes we're doing this as a heror shor. It's not to be permanent. You shouldn't sit back and say, well, next year we'll do it again. You have to reconsider the situation every time a Shemitah comes up. If it's such an emergency that it will really affect the economy, then you have to do it. Then you should do it. Otherwise, it's not that you shouldn't do it. You should rely on all the Paschim and try to live the way the Torah wants you to observe a Shabbos Ha'aretz. And that's the way it has been, except coming into many recent years or so, we've had changes in the outlook. Generally, the Rabbonus Roshit, because Rav Kook was the first Rav Roshi of Eretz Yisrael, followed by Rav Herzog, and followed by the other Rabbonim Roshim, both in Ashkenaz and Sforad, the Rishon Litzion, and whoever, there always was a Heter Mechira. Lately, under different pressures, whatever it is, it's not for me to go into it, it seems that there was more reluctance to do that, but it still is done, because many different things may be changed in the economy, and others were concerned about looking for that chumrah. They felt it was necessary. We have to be machmer when it comes to the Kedushas Ha'aretz. What has happened as a practical thing, I have to tell you that many of the major kashrus agencies they adopted the principle we will not accept products from Eretz Yisrael that are bar mutter because of the heter mechira. That's what they said, which forced others to try to follow in line, otherwise you're not firm enough if you accept it. In principle, I mean, that's really becomes a certain type of pressure one way or another. In fact, in one of the recent pamphlets to say how this becomes almost political, a certain pamphlet that was published dealing with the laws of Shemitah and the whole background, what is the Reis of the Rabbanan, they use an expression which bothers me the most. After all, the Rabbanan Rashid always in charge of the Heter Mechira. But since later on he says, since Rabbanim Charedim, so as if to say, all the Rabbanim that are in the network, Dayanim and Great Rabbanim and Tamidi Chachomim and Bali Haror, are not Rabbanim Charedim, it already gives a political stance. So I'm not saying anything more than that. If there's a proper Heter Mechira instituted because of the danger to the loss of a certain amount of property or so forth, a property of the crops, therefore it should take place. There is enough grounds within the Paschim, all of these Gedali Yisrael that relied on a Heter Mechira, and in certain places, of course, it can be observed. Just want to mention something else. There's another way, which is the term is bandied about, something without selling the land, but there could be a Heter. Main thing we're talking about, the crops, the peros shvius. The din is, when it says in the Torah that Tohoysa Shabbos Oros Lechem Li'ochlo, the land should be, in other words, the produce of the land should be for you to eat, to consume. V'lo l'scheiva, not for business. You can't engage in business on that. That's why every year, next year, you'll have a big tumult with the Esregim, that's Peiros Oros. How can you make business? How can you sell the Esregim? It goes into a whole ASIC about how to do that. When we'll get there, Mir Tzashem, perhaps we'll talk about that. Maybe Mashiach will come before, we won't have the problem. But the question when we deal with something called the Eitzer Bezdin. What is this Eitzer Bezdin, which seems to be a heter regardless without selling? So, actually, the source is a Tosefta in Shvis, which basically is broader than any Sforim that deal with the halachas of Eitzer Bezdin Shmita. Here's a small sefer, believe it or not, is published by the Aguda. And anyhow, that doesn't make any difference. Halacha is halacha. And Eitzer Bezdin is described, but it's based on the Ramban, The Ramban in Chumash, you look in Parshas Behar, where it talks about the Shemitah, the Ramban quotes it to Sefter, and what happens is very simply, what used to happen with Rishayna, in the beginning, the agents, the emissaries of Bezin used to sit by the entry of all the towns and cities. So the owners of the fields had all of these payers. They couldn't sell it because they would have to go into business. They didn't sell their land. So they bring all the fruits to the Bezin, to the eitz, what they call the storehouse, the warehouses of the Bezin. And what do they? Bezin gives them food. They give them mazon. He calls it sholosh sudos, three meal. Ashar machnis and eitzer eitzer. They bring it to an eitzer shabir. They have a warehouse where they store all of this grain or whatever it is. The gears maintaining. When it comes to the time of the when the figs are ripe, so then Bezin seichin peilim v'eitzer. So Bezin hires workers to pick it. To pick that fruit, and then the eisen eisen they make the into pressed figs. The machnis and eisen the eitzer should be they bring it into the eitzer. So from the test to sefter it comes out that as I said before, it's outlined and described and quoted by the Ramban, and it's also in the Rash Rabbeinu Shimshon in his Perush on Shviz in Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph, so that they can do that. And as a result of that, it's not obviating the question of doing schayra. Bezin is already handling it, and even if it reaches a zman, you know, if somebody has perush shviz, and it reaches a time, what we call the zman habior, they have to take whatever they have in their house. Like if a man owns a field and gathers in crops for his own consumption, he's allowed to do that doing shviz. But when it comes to the zman habior, when they call Bizman Shakola Lachaya Minasoda, when animals now don't have anything to eat out in the field, you have an obligation of biur. You have to take whatever you've gathered in and send it out. But with the Eitz of Bezin, once you gave it to the Eitz of Bezin, they're not required to do that, because that's only a chiyuv on yachidim, on individual, but not on a klal. They represent the klal of the community. So that is the way, one of the ways that the payers that are found in the Eitz of Bezin. He's saying there's no particular chiyuv of beer, and they could transfer that to the people that come and ask for that. And a very interesting thing, there's a psak of the Chazayin Ish, and the Chazayin Ish generally was a big machmer in all these dinim of shviz, but he says a heter, he says the piling, the workers that Eitz of Bezin would hire, can go into the field, and they could cut and gather and harvest all those crops because it's for the Bezdin, not for the private ownership, and they don't have to make shinuyim. They don't have to change the way that they're doing, like just like you have a malach on Shabbos under certain circumstances, you can make a shinui. Here they also, they don't have to make a shinui. That's the way, that's the concept of Eitz of Bezin. Now I can't tell you the details of how it's done in Eretz Yisrael. Many times, to be very frank, when people ask me what I do in Eretz Yisrael, I say, ask the Dayanim. Ask those who are faced with these daily problems there. They'll tell you how to do it and how to handle it. But that was another Eitzah that would sort of obviate the problem of saving at least the crops and the food and everything else so that it would not go to waste, it would not be completely abandoned. So let us hope and pray, actually, that the situation would change, that, as it was mentioned, Rabbi Rapp mentioned it, about the Inyan of Yovel, the reinstitution of those manim, the whole proper Seder of the years, the Kol Yoshvehu Aleh, that the majority of Jews would be returned to Eretz Yisrael, and we should be Zecher to the Beis Gal Tzedek, B'mheir B'yameinu, that Shemitah should be in its proper place. We should have that Amun and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can preserve it in the proper way, and we should all be Zecher this coming Shemitah to Ashnas Chaim or Geula, and Beis Mashiach Tzidkenu B'mheir B'yameinu. Amen.
Rabbi Schwartz, yes. What does the Sfardashi Rabbanim feel about this? Like the Rishonim back in the 1880s and 1890s, did they have a consensus one way or
They would be following the Beis Yosef too. Beis Yosef was a big Mekel. as far as the fruits coming from a goy. There's a series of paskin that in his tshuvas. So they would follow the shoes. Well, they're not so much mentioned in reference to the Chet HaMechila, but they did not oppose it. And in fact, the Rav Elisha, the Rishon LeZion, wrote one of his forum, wrote a long tshuva supporting the Chet HaMechila.